Amen. As we come together today on this Thanksgiving Sunday, we have much to be thankful for. Amen? Amen. Let's just take a few moments now just to pause, to center our hearts and our minds together in Christ Jesus. And as we do so, let's just let go of all the things that hinder, the sins that easily have entangled us this past week, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus. So let's take a few moments of quiet just before I lead us in prayer, and then we enter into a time of God's word together today. So let's just quietly pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you this morning in the quietness and in the stillness, just to be in your presence. Lord, as we have been worshiping you in spirit and with songs this morning, Lord, we do want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to express to you our praise, express to you our gratitude, our thankfulness at all that you have done for us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We just don't know where we would be, as that last song, that last hymn reminds us, Lord. We don't know where we would be without your grace, your mercy, your great love shown to us in Jesus. And Father, we thank you for sending your Son. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming and showing us the way, the truth, and the life. And for the death that you died on the cross, the life that you rose again to, and that you hold out to each one of us, Lord. And we thank you today for our salvation in you. Oh, Lord, where would we be? We would be lost in our sinfulness. And Lord, we thank you that you've forgiven sins. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you not only forgave the sins of our past, but you forgive the sins in our present, and you have also forgiven our sins into the future. And Lord, we thank you that that is created around us, created in us, that place of safety, that place where we can run to for refuge when life gets so overwhelming, when sin creeps at our door and wants to devour us. Lord, we know that you are there with us, that you are the one who redeems us, that saves us every moment of every day. And Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and we can know that your presence is with us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, who leads us and guides us into an understanding of your truth, who helps us to know your presence and your peace. The Holy Spirit who speaks to us. Yes, Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who speaks to us. And even when we don't understand the groanings, the urgings of the Spirit, or the leadings of the Spirit, that you are there, Holy Spirit, to empower our lives, to lead us and guide us. And Lord, we have so much that we are thankful for today as a church family. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful place that we can gather in. We thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness that you have shown to the generations of believers who have met in this place and who still meet in this place. And Lord, we just thank you for the way that you have given us this mission center here in the north part of Peterborough. And Lord, we thank you for the other congregation, the Ghanaian Church, that meets in the space below us, Lord, and the songs that just filter up through the floor on Sunday morning. And Lord, it's just great to be able to know that you are not only building this church up here, but you are expanding the work of your ministry with the Ghanaian church that is gathering and growing and touching people's lives. And Lord, so we thank you for the way that you have empowered us to be able to be a mission center into the community around us. And Lord, we thank you for the school that's been meeting here in our building since September. And Lord, we thank you for all the little children and the teachers that are meeting here and blessing the blessings that they are, not only to us as we come and go from this place, but Lord, the blessings that this little school is to the parents and the families that are the kids are being taught your values, your truth. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to bless them as they meet here. And Lord, again, we thank you for one another. We thank you for the gift that you've given them of friendship and family one to another. And Lord, we know that there are many who are part of our church family who are not here today, who are off visiting with their families. And we pray, Lord, that your blessing and your peace and your grace and your mercy and your love would just be with each person today, Lord, who is not able to be with us. And Lord, we just thank you for the privilege it is to be able to be called your forever family. And so, Lord, with grateful hearts today, we come before you and we worship you in spirit and in truth. And we ask now that you would just open our hearts, open our minds, that we might be able to receive from you today the life-giving word that empowers us to live our lives as grateful, thankful people, and that we are able to share of the blessings that you have given to us with the world around us, so that they might come to know your goodness, your grace, your mercy and love. And so, Lord, we pray now that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to understand your word as we work through it today. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't know what's going on with that, but hopefully you'll just be able to put the static out of your mind. And the fact that I just raised it, you know, just puts it in the front and center of your mind. But hey, we got lots to be thankful for today. Amen. 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 This morning, being Thanksgiving, I thought we would do something a little different. And I don't know if you've ever done this before in a church service. I know I've done this before, but we're going to have a pop quiz today. Now, how many of you remember pop quizzes? You know those pop quizzes that we had at high school or at university, when all of a sudden the professor pulls out the test and says, "Okay, here, everybody ready?" Well, you received a piece of paper when you came in this morning. And on that piece of paper, there are 10 questions. And each of you are going to answer those questions today. And there should be a pen in front of you on the seat back, or if you need a pen, one of our ushers will get you a pen. If you need a pen, put your hand up, and they will find that one for you. Or if you don't have a piece of paper with the 10 questions on it, put your hand up. Anyone? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. This is a self-test on gratitude. And here's how it's going to work. I'm going to ask you the questions, and when I ask you the question, you're going to put a number, your response. And if you strongly disagree with the question, you'll put a 1. If you disagree with the question, a 2. If you slightly disagree with the question, 3. This is your score, okay, for this. A 4 if you're kind of neutral. 5 if you slightly agree. 6 if you agree. And 7. Oh, 7. You know, perfect number, right? 7 if you strongly agree with the question that I'm going to, that's there, okay? So everybody got that? 1 to 7? All right. So here's the first question, and you have them in front of you. Here. I have so much life to be thankful for. Write down your answer, where you see yourself there. 1 to 7. I have so much life to be thankful for. Number 2. If I had to list everything I felt grateful for, it would be a very long list. Your answer, 1 to 4. How do you rate yourself there? Or sorry, 1 to 7. Sorry, 1 to 7. Yeah. I hope you don't. Well, I'm not going to kind of skew the answer here. All right, everybody, next question. When I look at the world, I don't see much to be grateful for. When I look at the world, I don't see much to be grateful for. All right, next. Oops, I went two. Next question. I'm grateful to a wide variety of people. I'm grateful to a wide variety of people. Number 5, as I get older, the people, events, and situations that have been part of my life history, I appreciate the people, events, and situations that I've been part of my life history. You're growing in your appreciation for the situations, circumstances, people that have been part of your life. Number 6, long amounts of time can go by before I feel grateful to something or someone. Long amounts of time can go by before I feel grateful to something or someone. Disagree, agree, and anywhere in between there, 1 to 7. All right, the next one. I have been richly blessed in my life. I have been richly blessed in my life. Number 8. To be honest, it takes an awful lot to make a person like me feel appreciative. It takes an awful lot to make a person like me feel appreciative. Disagree, agree. Number 9, I have a wonderful sense of thanksgiving for life itself. And the last question is, I often reflect on how much easier my life is because of the efforts of others. All right. So now, Now what we're going to do is we're going to add up the score. But before we do, before we add up your score, I want you to take a, put a star beside questions 3, question 6, and question 8. All right, question 3, question 6, question 8. And once you've noticed those questions, now I want you to reverse the score for those 3 questions. So if you scored a 1 for that you disagreed with that question, give yourself a score of 7. If you scored 2, a 6, 3, a 5, you know, just reverse the score there, okay, on those 3 questions. And then, once you've done that, now add up your scores for your what's called your gratitude quotient. Your gratitude quotient. We're going to make it sound scientific. And now what we're going to do, so your score should be between the numbers 10 and 70, right? And so I want you to take note of your score. And just give me a moment here. Okay, so now what I'd like you to do is in just a moment, I'm going to have you stand up. And I want you to find a reasonably friendly looking stranger. Okay, reasonably friendly looking stranger. And that should be everybody in this room, okay? A reasonably friendly looking stranger. And what I want you to do is just find that reasonably friendly looking stranger. And you have 30 seconds to go and do that right now, okay? Stand up, find that, and I'll give you the next instruction, okay? Reasonable, friendly looking stranger. All right. If you've found somebody, all right. Now, now you're going to have 1 minute each. 1 minute each to introduce yourself, and then tell them your score. And then one thing that you learned about yourself from this test, okay? One thing that you learned about your attitude of gratitude from this test, okay? Okay, just find someone, a reasonably friendly-looking stranger. You may know them, but just go and find somebody. 1 minute, go. Okay. Just share your score and one thing that you learned about yourself from this test, about gratitude. Okay, and then switch. If you haven't already switched, you can switch. I mean, switch with each other. I mean, if one person share, then the other person share, okay? Okay, and you should be wrapping up very soon. Okay, and once you've shared, you can go back to your seats. All right, you can head back to your seats now. All right. So, you know, regardless of where you scored on the test today, all right, it really doesn't, whether you scored low or whether you scored high on your gratitude quotient, I'm not too concerned about that right now, because what's really important about this is that, you know, when we start to think about the things that we're grateful for and how grateful we are, you know, it just gives us that kind of that baseline. This test kind of gives us the baseline, and we can always, wouldn't you agree, we can always be learning, and we can always be stretching in the ways that we learn to appreciate and then express our gratitude with one another, correct? Yes? We can always be growing in that, in our gratitude quotient. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at a passage of Scripture today that will give us some encouragement on how we can continue to grow raise our gratitude quotient. And so how do we go about raising our gratitude quotient in our life? Well, Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17 is a very, very good place for us to start. So let's look at this passage today as a template for raising our gratitude quotient. And this is what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3, 15 to 17. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deeds, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So, this is our template today for how to begin to raise our gratitude quotient, or bring our attitude of gratitude to allow it to really start to grow within us. So what's the first thing? What's the first thing that Paul talks about here in raising our gratitude quotient? Well, he says this: add or adopt a posture of peace and thankfulness, or peaceful thankfulness. Ask you today, what is the source? What is the source of gratitude in your life? Where does that gratitude spring up from for you today? You know, the Apostle Paul encourages us. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule. Because, you know, in reality, that is the ultimate source of our gratitude for living, our gratitude in life, is having a sense of the peace of God, the peace of Jesus Christ ruling in our hearts. Now, that's easy for me to say as a pastor, right? Hey, that's what Paul's saying here. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. But what is the peace of Christ? What is that peace of Christ? Have you ever stopped to really think about that? You know, when Paul tells us to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, what is he really asking? What is this peace? Well, we could go right away to Jesus and what Jesus said about peace. And he says this in John chapter 14, verse 27. He says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, but I give it to you. I give you my peace. I leave with you my peace. You know, that's a good place to start, well, with Jesus, right? But what is Jesus leaving with us? What is this peace that he's talking about? This peace that he's left with us. Well, it's time for us to really think about that, to really consider that. What do you think this peace is? How have you experienced this peace that Jesus has left with you? How has that shown up in your life, this peace? See, because, you know, it's one thing for you know, someone to preach about it or to teach about it, but it's another thing to really experience God's peace, the peace of Jesus, in the midst of all the turmoil of life. So what is it? What is this peace to you? Is it, you know, as we sing, that beautiful hymn, Blessed Assurance? Is it the blessed assurance that we have that, you know, Jesus has done all these things for us on the cross of Calvary? Is that the peace that comes to us, you know, knowing we have this assurance that God is in control, that he is sovereign over everything, that we have confidence? Is that the peace of God? That his presence is there? That God is in control? That he has me in his hands? What is that sense of peace for you? You know, in the midst of grief or loss, the sense of God coming and presencing himself with you through his Spirit or through the Son, through the love of the Father. What is that peace for you? What is it? And are you thankful? Are you thankful for this peace? So what is it? What is the manifestation of Christ's peace that you're thankful for today? I want you to think about that. What are you specifically thankful for that, you know, in terms of God's peace to you? And then think about why is this so important? Why is it so important for us to be able to let this peace that you've come to understand from God rule in your hearts? Why is it so important? All right. With the music playing downstairs, what I want you to do is I want you to stand up again, 30 seconds, find another reasonably friendly stranger, okay? Okay? Find another reasonably friendly stranger. 30 seconds, let's go. And then take 1 minute to share back and forth. What manifestation of God's peace are you thankful for today? What manifestation of God's peace are you thankful for? Don't be shy. Just find somebody very quickly.
What am I thankful for?
The peace of God. Which peace of God?
The peace of God, he protects me from evil, for one thing. That's a big thing. I've had problems. Good mind. So, yes, that's what I know. He's in control, yes. And I don't have to worry.
Awesome. Amen.
That sort of makes me a happy, bubbly person.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes, and I'm thankful for His peace that He gives in the midst of all the stuff that I've gone through in my life, that He has always been there.
Are you happy here?
Amen.
Good. I'm
Amen.
Glad.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Take another few seconds to finish up. Okay. And when you're done, head back to your seats. All right, you can head back to your seats now. All right. Well, what's amazing is that when the peace of Christ, why is it so important for us to have that sense of God's peace as the foundation for our life? Of thankfulness or gratitude. Well, it's when the peace of Christ is ruling in our hearts that it produces a joyful countenance. A joyful countenance within us. You can call it an aura of positivity, or you know, this shield, not a shield, but this thing of positivity that begins to really just exude from you. I was talking with Shirley there just for a moment, and she said one of the things was, you know, what she was thankful for, and then she said, and I'm just so full of joy. I'm just so full of joy because of all the things that God has done to protect me in my life, deliver me in my life. And that's what this is all about. You know, our when we have that sense of a posture of peaceful thankfulness that comes from allowing the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts, it allows us to have this joyful countenance that protects us or combats negativity in our lives. And I'm just going to get this right here. Come on. All right. Well, it's not going to go there. But anyway, it produced, and the Apostle Paul tells us this. He says, it produces a joyful countenance. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 9, he says this. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. For whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Amen? Amen. You know, Paul is emphasizing the need for us to have our life grounded in the peace of Christ, because that's where the inner and outer joy that we have is a byproduct of a life that is centered on Jesus Christ. For when Christ is at the center, there's no need for anxiety or fear. When we can have total confidence in who He is and what He's for us. And when we're actively seeking the peace of Christ in our lives, we can set our hearts and minds at rest in His presence. Which brings us to the second The second way that we can raise our gratitude quotient from this passage, and this one, is that we would embrace, okay, from that centeredness in Christ, we can embrace the presence of Christ through dwelling in his word and through worshiping him. That's what Paul says. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts toward God. You get the connection there? You get the connection? Dwelling in the presence of Christ, dwelling in the peace of Christ, allows us to dwell in the Word of God. And in dwelling in the Word of God richly, it enables us to be able to give thanks and worship God from a joyful heart. Give thanks with a joyful heart. You know that song? Yeah. Give thanks with a joyful heart. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a story of how David, in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 1 to 8, how David rejoiced and was thankful and grateful to God for the fact that they were able to return the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And there was a long story in that. There were some ups and downs in that story. There was some failures in that story and improper ways that the Ark of the Covenant were handled. But when they got it right and they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city, David creates a special tent for the ark to be put in the presence of all the people. For there wasn't a temple yet built in Jerusalem. So he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem and set it in this special tent that he had pitched for it. And this is what we're told. He says, they brought the Ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God. And after David finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people and the name of the Lord. And then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each Israelite man and woman. Now that story just kind of sounds like Thanksgiving, doesn't it? You know? Celebration, you know, a big celebration, a family, lots of thanksgiving, lots of praise to God, you know, the offerings to God, you know, look at this bounty here that God has provided, you know, great offering to God. And then afterwards, let's eat, let's have a feast, let's have that Thanksgiving feast. Well, what is this story tell us? Well, after this first part, he goes on to say, the Chronicles goes on to say, then David appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord, to make petitions, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord. And God, the God of Israel, Asaph was the chief, Zechariah second, and Jeiel, Shemiramoth, Jael, Mattiatha, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jael, they were to play the lyres and harps. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and Benaiah and Jeziel, the priest, were to blow the trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. That day, David first committed to Asaph and his associates this psalm of thanksgiving. Now, I know I butchered the names of that worship team. But take note, David set up one of the first worship, contemporary worship teams in Israel. When they brought them, he brought all this group of musicians together and he gave them all kinds of songs to sing and praise God and they gathered together. And what did they do? They were giving thanks to God with grateful hearts. This is what happened that day. And you know what? What it shows us is it gives us an example of embracing the presence of God through dwelling in His Word and worshiping. And so, you know, David's story, the returning of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, what he shows us here is that David created space. He created space for the Ark of the Covenant to come in, the God's Word to come in to the city. It created this space so that he and others could celebrate the goodness of God. He created this space, but once the space was created and they started to dwell in that and experience this together, they were able then to share generously the blessings of God. And David distributes to everyone these cakes, these loaves of bread, all of these things so that they can celebrate together the goodness of God. And so David shared generously and blessed all the people. And then what we see as well is that David trained the Levites and gave them psalms and songs to teach the people, to remind them of God's amazing love and provision and watch care over them. You know, and we have a whole list of psalms that David wrote. It's a beautiful greatest hits list. And the PowerPoint right now is not working, so Josh, maybe you could just hit the buttons as it goes along, see if it works for you. Okay, yeah, go in next. Okay, there we go. First of David's hits, Psalm 25, 1 to 2. You know, this beautiful psalm reminds us of God's goodness. He says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song." The next psalm that he had was Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7. "Come, let us worship, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care." You know, each of these psalms that David is speaking, he gives to the worship team to lead the people in joyful remembrance of God's Word, to dwell in the Word of God. He says, "Sing to the Lord a new song," Psalm 96. "Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare the glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among the peoples. Shout for joy," he says in Psalm 100. "Shout for joy to the Lord all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2, where he says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits." And finally, Psalm 103, 19 to 22, where he says, "The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord with all His works everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul." You know, what David gave to the people of Israel, the worship team of Israel, the Levites, has had a long-lasting value for us as God's people. All of these psalms, these words of praise and thanksgiving have come to us as his people. And when we read them and when we listen to them sung, when we allow God's word to dwell in us richly, something begins to transform within our hearts. As we embrace the word of Christ dwelling in our hearts, and as we learn how to offer up to him our heartfelt praise of gratitude, our gratitude quotient begins to rise within us. And we become a more thankful people. And our attitude of gratitude begins to have a positive impact on others around us. You found that in your life? Have you found that when you spend that time dwelling in God's word, and as you spend time worshiping and praising him, something inside of you begins to change and you become more positive. And you become less prone to criticizing and criticism. You know, and there's a direct correlation there. You know, a number of years ago, I read a book. I read a book entitled A Complaint-Free World. Anybody ever come across that book years ago? A Complaint-Free World. It was written by a man by the name of Will Bowen. He's still around today, still trying to be a change agent in the world relating to this. But in 2006, Will Bowen challenged 250 people to break the destructive habit of complaining. And he did this by encouraging them to go 21 days straight, without making a single complaint. And how he encouraged people to do that was he gave them a little rubber bracelet, a little rubber band bracelet that had Complaint-Free World on it. And he encouraged them that, you know, if ever you feel like you're about to complain about something, take the elastic band and go snap. All right? And in doing so, that will just remind you, okay, I'm to think more, be more grateful, more gratitude, and not complain. And if you do find yourself complaining, let's say you're 5 days in and you haven't made a complaint, and then all of a sudden you slip up and you complain. He said, then you take the band off, put it on the other wrist, and start your 21 days again, all over again. If you can get 21 days without complaining, then you've created a brand new habit of being more grateful and more thankful. And you'll be amazed at the impact that you have in your life on others by not complaining. You know, I tried to put that into practice. I'll tell you, I did. I tried to really put it into practice. And I had the purple bracelet, and I snapped it every time I was going to complain. Oh, my wrist was so sore. And what I found was, I mean, it was going back and forth from one wrist to the next few weeks. And I won't tell you how long it took me to get my 21 days in. I think I'm still working on it. But what I will tell you, I won't tell you how long, but what I will tell you is that it took a lot of practice. It took a lot of practice. And you know, that's the next thing. Do you want to develop more consistent attitude of gratitude? Be more grateful in the way that you live and how you impact on others? Then the most important thing is practice. Practice being thankful every day. For without practice, you will never perfect the art of living a life of gratitude. Practice. You know, Paul has a last word for us. He says, you know, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And what he's encouraging us to do is practice, practice, practice the art of giving thanks in all things. So if you want to develop more consistent attitude of gratitude, there are three essential practice points. And these three essential practice points are this, very quickly. First of all, maintain perspective. Okay? Maintain a grateful, thankful perspective. You know, and that was what the complaint-free world bracelet was all about. Keeping your perspective on that which is good, lovely, and perfect. You know, you can choose to focus on what you do not have, or you can make a conscious effort to notice what you do have and express it. And that shows up in how you count your blessings. Remember that song? That beautiful little chorus we all learned, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. It takes a perspective, a different perspective to really notice all the blessings that we have in life, right? And we have to purposely make that intentional. You know, name them, list them down, draw them out, and count them to truly feel gratitude as a lifestyle. We need to cultivate a grateful heart by purposely acknowledging our many blessings from God. Eric Hoffer has said, the hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables us to count our blessings. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible. We can count our many blessings. And then, you know, we can maintain our perspective, we can count our blessings, but the biggest thing, the essential practice to work on is that of giving thanks. Giving thanks. Showing our appreciation, showing our attitude in both word of gratitude in both word and in deed. In word and deed. Learn to express your thankfulness in the big and the small things every day with those around you. It makes a huge difference. And remember the old saying, keep this saying in mind. Practice makes perfect. Well, you know what? We're not going to be perfect. But here's what we can say instead. Practice makes sense, doesn't it? It really makes sense to practice these things, to put these things into practice. And that's what Paul is saying here when he says, you know, whatever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Father, of Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, that's so important. Practice, practice, practice that. You know, William A. Ward has said, you know, God has given us a gift of 86,400 seconds in a day. Did you know that? 86,400 seconds in a day. And he challenges us to say, have you used one to say thank you to either God or someone else today? How often are we thankful people? You know, William Ward also has said, as we express... feeling gratitude, this is his other saying, feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. Did you know that? We can feel gratitude all we want, but if we don't begin to express it to others, it's like we've wrapped this beautiful Christmas present up and we've held it and not given it to anybody. Give it away. Finally, John F. Kennedy said this many years ago, before I was born. But he said, when we express our gratitude, We must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. Okay? So, you know, these are the essentials for us. Maintain your perspective, count your blessings, give thanks, show your attitude in word and deed. Be joyful always, pray continually, Paul says. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He says that in 1 Thessalonians 5 to 16 to 18. And so today, as we are going to close off, just before I read this last little section here for you, this last thought, we're going to do this one more time. But this time, I'm not going to ask you to get up or move anywhere. But what I'd like you to do is just turn to the person who's next to you, okay? If there's not a person next to you, find a person next somewhere close. But what I'd like you to do right now is just take the opportunity to let the person know who's beside you what you are grateful for today. One thing. And if you want to say two or three things that you're grateful for today, that you're thankful for today, then do that too. But you've got 30 seconds to do that. Share with one another, what are you grateful for today? What are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for just like being able to come here every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for like
That's awesome.
Being healthy and not tired.
Great. Awesome. All right. Isn't it great? I mean, just think about it. Today when you came in the door, you know, and you came in, and like every week we come in, we sit down, and we all look forward, and we don't really know who's all here until afterwards when we're heading out the door, and we're sometimes we greet people, sometimes we meet people. But how many friendly-looking strangers do we actually ever really stop and talk to on a Sunday morning? We're family. This is Thanksgiving. Wouldn't it have been great to be able to just share what we're thankful for today with each other? And I hope that's what been your experience today. I hope it hadn't made you feel kind of uncomfortable. I hope you've really felt like you have made some new friends here today, and they're no longer strangers for you. And for that, we can be thankful and give God the glory and grace, praise. So as we conclude today, I just want to share one last thing. And this is a thought from a very unknown person by the name of Patricia. I don't know who they are, but I really like what they say here to close it off. They say this: true gratefulness comes from a conscious decision to recognize your blessings, coupled with the emotional feeling that accompanies a thankful heart. An ungrateful person can utter the words "thank you" in protest. A thankful person can hold their gratitude as a guarded secret, yearning to be shared. Grateful people not only count and take joy in their blessings, but they influence others with words and deeds by deliberately displaying their pleasure and appreciation to those who should receive it. Life is full of opportunities for giving thanks. Do you seek them out? Are you remembering to show appreciation to those closest to you? If you complain, you will find yourself with plenty of others to join in. If you live a positive, grateful, successful life, you will attract other positive, grateful, and successful people. Do not stifle your future by neglecting your attitude. Begin by developing your grateful spirit today. Now, as I said, I don't know this person, but I think we can all give a hearty amen to the sentiments that they've just expressed. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together as your people to celebrate together on this Thanksgiving and just spend some time with each other, just enjoying your enjoying the presence of your forever family. And Lord, I just pray that in all that we do, all that we say, that we would be thankful, grateful people. That you would just help us to be salt and light in this world, and that the light of Christ, the peace of Christ that dwells in our heart, would just explode outwardly to those around us, so that the world around us would see that you are a great and awesome, wonderful God. And we pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.